Isn't it beautiful? Spring. My daffodils are coming up. They got some buds on them. Sandhill cranes all over the place yesterday. After the winter we've had, what a wonderful time. And this is a special day in the eyes of the world. We have some youth wisdom on the easel over there. I'll talk about that one in just a minute. But we are in Easter. And Easter is considered to be, in some quarters, the most important Sunday of the year. It celebrates the resurrection of Jesus. Carl has led us in songs that are reflective on that. On the third day after his crucifixion. In the denominational world, this has been preceded by Lent. That was supposed to be originally a 40-day fast with prayers and penance. That's been modified over the years. Now, most of us don't do anything for 40 days, much less a fast. But that has been a celebration. And the last week, this past week, is called Holy Week. Maundy Thursday, this last Thursday, celebrated the Last Supper and foot washing in accordance with John 13, beginning with verse 1. Good Friday reminds us of the death of Christ. And now we have, beginning tomorrow, what's called Eastertide. That's 50 days, a period of worship and prayer ending with Pentecost Sunday. And when was all that established? Well, that was all established in 325 by the Council of Nicaea. It's been followed religiously by numerous religious groups. It's kind of interesting that the establishment of it was on the first Sunday after a full moon following the equinox. The equinox this year was on March the 20th. And the alignment of the planets, the sun and the moon and the earth, especially right now, is in such a position that if you were watching early Saturday morning, you saw what that alignment produces. I was going to take my son Tim out for breakfast with Saturdays that I'm home, and as I came up the driveway, I noticed a blood moon. The moon was low in the west, and the shadow of the earth was following on the moon, and we have enough junk in our atmosphere to turn it red. Now, some have attached a lot of religious significance to the color of the moon. But it's interesting as you look at this history to realize that cultural myths and customs have been tied to all of this. We got a rabbit over there and a profound question. Who said the Easter Bunny was a boy? Well, as a matter of fact, he's not supposed to be. On the back of the bulletin, I have a little historical reference you might want to read about the Easter Bunny. The German story about the Easter Bunny was that the Easter rabbit was a friend of Jesus. And that's explained on the back of the bulletin. Easter eggs. The egg is a symbol of fertility. And eggs were significant. Sam, you don't happen to have an Easter egg tree in your yard, do you? No? Because if she did, I was going to pick on her, because if you had an Easter egg tree in your yard in Germany, that meant you were expecting to have another child during the next 12 months. Don't have that, okay. Well, that's too bad. But anyway, in Greece, there was a patron saint celebration during this time of year. Richard might be able to tell us about Crete. They have dolls on Crete, I'm told, that are symbolic of different things connected with the Easter story, and one of the things they do is that they have a doll representing Judas, and on Easter Sunday they burn it. Leonardo, they practice hot air balloons on Easter Sunday. In Slovakia, women are spanked on Sunday if their husbands want them to have a baby during the next 12 months. And so they have what is called a pamitska, which is a whip that is supposed to increase their beauty and increase their fertility. In Poland, we have Dingus Day. in which women pour cold water on any man they're interested in but don't want to have a baby with. It's kind of interesting that Dingus Day celebration has turned into quite a production in South Bend. On the west side, they have a feast associated with that. It's interesting, you know, when I was reading about Easter, and there's been a lot of stuff in the paper about Easter, to realize how many traditions there are. Every country has its own traditions. And to notice how the traditions have changed. You know, we've always had Easter egg hunts. And that's kind of interesting because the Easter egg, the egg was a symbol of fertility. Christians were not allowed to eat eggs during Lent, and so the eggs accumulated, and there was a massive feast after Lent in which the eggs had to be consumed for obvious reasons. And when you read the Bible, what you see is that while all of this is stuff that is indigenous to cultures, there were cultures present in Paul's time. I want you to listen how Paul dealt with this. Paul says, this is Romans 14, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. He should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. I'm thankful the world looks at this Sunday as a special Sunday. I'm thankful at least one time during the year that the front paper has something positive to say about Christianity. I'm thankful that some of my neighbors who never go to church do go to church today. I hope they hear a good sermon. But the important thing to understand is that this is pluralism at its best. And our nation is obsessed with pluralism right now. But I think it's important to understand that as long as it's not violating a teaching of Jesus or a principle established in the writings of the New Testament, that pluralism is a wonderful thing. And I'm thankful to God that we have a time when people are called to look again, by whatever devices they have, at their relationship to Jesus Christ. I'd like to point out a couple of things about Easter that is special. Hopefully some of this you know, some of it maybe you don't know. But I think it's important for us as Christians to be reminded of what we really believe about this. I mean, we just sang a couple of songs about it. First, do you know that Easter is special because it's based on the Passover? The only place you'll find Easter in the Bible is in the King James translation of Acts 12 and verse 4. And that's actually a mistranslation. The word that is used there is the Greek word pascha, P-A-S-C-H-A, and it means Passover. It is a celebration of Israel being freed from slavery in Egypt. It's one of three festivals that the Israelites were commanded to keep. Exodus 23, beginning with verse 14. Three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me, the Lord says. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. Eat bread without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for at that time you came out of Egypt. See, one of the festivals was to remind Israel of God's salvation from the slavery of Egypt. You remember the story? Blood was put on the doorpost of those who were God's children. And they left in such a hurry that they didn't have time to let bread rise, and so they were commanded to eat unleavened bread. And in the festival, they ate unleavened bread to remind them of that. When Jesus came, he established himself as the Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. See, the lamb was eaten as they left the slavery of Egypt. And the sacrifice of Jesus is for us as we leave the slavery to sin. And that's what we should be thinking about when we're looking at the Lord's Supper. We haven't paid a lot of attention to the fact that the Passover was such an integral part of what the understanding of the first century church was. The history was meaningful to them. Luke 22, beginning with verse 7, describes this, where Jesus establishes the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says, then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So we celebrate Easter every Sunday. Every Sunday in communion, as we just did. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, we're told, whenever you do it, to celebrate the memory of Jesus Christ, the memory of God's provision, and especially to parallel the Passover coming out of the slavery of Egypt with our Passover, the coming out of sin. I wonder how many times we think about that, that we recognize the beautiful connection between the story of the leaving of the sin and slavery of Egypt to our leaving of sin in today's world. The second point that I'd like to make to you here is that Easter is special because it recognizes the risen Christ. Our songs today that Carl selected were so beautifully connected to that idea. You see, no other religion has a divine figure. You realize that in John 1, beginning in verse 1, we're told He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No other religion has a figure like that. In Colossians 1, beginning with verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and through Him. Christ is unique. No other religious figure rose from the dead. Do you realize that Muslims today go to the city of Medina to visit the tomb of Muhammad? There's no tomb of Jesus Christ. There are places that are claimed to be the place where He was buried and rose from, but even those are not clear. Buddha's burial is known. Baha'u'llah's burial is known. Moses' burial is known. Abraham's burial is known. All these people died. Jesus did not die. The risen Christ is unique to the system of Christianity. So in Acts 2 and verse 22, in the sermon that Peter preached, he said, but God raised Him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 25, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. I've been to an awful lot of funerals recently. I've seen a lot of pain. As we were with Patty and Bill and their family at Viola's passing, you know, it kept crossing my mind, what an awful thing death is. What a terrible thing it is to realize the finality of death. And the uniqueness of Jesus is that Jesus has destroyed death. The Bible says that, 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 10, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, I'm ready for an existence without death, aren't you? I don't want to keep going to funerals for eternity. I want the time when we no longer will have to face the finality of death and worry about those left behind. Jesus is special because He is risen and He destroyed death. Islam doesn't destroy death. Hinduism doesn't destroy death. All that Hinduism and Buddhism promise is to be recycled so you can die again. What an incredible contrast between the principles of Jesus Christ that says death is going to be destroyed, there's not going to be any more death, and all these other religious options that say, well, you're going to keep dying, you're just going to do it in different ways and at different times. Easter is special because it recognizes the risen Christ. And we celebrate every Sunday the risen Christ because it is such a beautiful portrayal of what we hope for ourselves. And the last point I want to make this morning is that Easter is special because it reminds us that we have hope. We have hope. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 16, says, "For if the dead are not raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." I can tell you something. For an atheist, death is the ultimate tragedy. If you don't have a connection to God, then when death comes along, you have nothing. Nothing. You really want to live with no hope? You really want to live with the recognition that this is the best you're ever going to have? Eastern religions, all of the other systems that are out there promise no freedom from death, no hope of anything beyond this life. I've watched my brothers as they try to deal with that. My brother who has Parkinson's and is dying, one of the things that he kept saying, he said, you've talked to me about Jesus and about the church and about the Bible for all these years, and that's what I had. But when his Parkinson's got into advanced stage, he said, I understand all that, but it was having no hope that makes me want to do something. I don't want to live with no hope, especially when I know that my life is coming to an end. It's important to understand that the resurrection means something better awaits us. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1, "Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the old order of things has passed away." No more funerals. No more pain. Our brother, Bill Gibson, and his wife, Patty, went down to North Carolina and got Tracy's stuff and brought it back up here yesterday. And I watched Bill trying to move as he moved when he was 25 years old. The body doesn't cooperate. And I'd like to help, but my body doesn't cooperate either. Isn't it a wonderful thing to realize that that isn't the way it's going to be forever? That we have the hope and the realization that we do what we can here, but it's going to get better. And I have to conclude this by saying to you, do you have that hope? Do you have hope? Easter is a time of rebirth. I'm sick of winter. Aren't you? We still got a pile of snow at the end of our road, and I'm waiting for that sucker to go. But it's important to understand that time of birth, when we see the trees and the flowers and the animals, should be a reminder to us that we need to be born again, that we need that rebirth. We have a choice. We can either obey God and have that hope, or as the writer says in Revelation 22, we can suffer the consequences of having no hope. Listen to chapter 22 of Revelation, beginning with verse 12. Behold, I am coming again. Jesus is talking here. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the holy city. There's a lot of symbolism there. There's a lot of pictures there. A lot of things that I don't understand. Tree of life. I don't know what that is. I know that Adam and Eve ate of it until they sinned and cut themselves off from it. But listen to what's the alternative. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts. That's not the dogs that bark. It's the dogs that practice magic art. Those who practice sexual immorality. The murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. See, we have the hope of something better. And I don't pretend to understand how God's going to do all that, but I do know I don't want to be in the other place. I don't want to be separated from hope. I don't want to be involved with those who are immoral, those who are murderers, those who have practices that lead to falsehood. He goes on in the last verse and says, I, Jesus, have sent my archangel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Easter, a time of birth, a time of rebirth, a time of renewal. Something we celebrate every Sunday. But the world at this point has to stop and say, you know, this is a mess. And even the most separated and antagonistic skeptic is pretty quiet around Easter, because they are reminded by everything they see around them of how important it is to have hope, to be a child of God. If you're this morning and you're not a child of God, if you don't have hope, I would beg you, don't live and die that way. Realize the importance of having hope, of celebrating newness in life. And if we can assist you to that, then we encourage you to do that. As together we stand and sing, won't you please...